Mass. This Sunday within the octave of Corpus Christi is the second after Pentecost. The introit is taken from Psalm 17, which sings the praises of God, who protects his people and delivers them from their enemies. Let us lovingly extol this God, who is our support and our refuge. Introit. The Lord hath become my protector and set me at large. He hath saved me because he loved me. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my support, my refuge, and my deliverer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, the Church prays that we may have both the love and the fear of God's holy name. For the fear here spoken of, the fear which children have for their father, does not exclude love. On the contrary, it strengthens love by guarding it against the negligence and oversights into which certain souls are led by a false familiarity. Collect. Grant us, O Lord, both a constant love and fear of thy holy name, since thou never withdrawest thy protection from those whom thou solidly groundest in thy love. Commemoration of Corpus Christi. O God, who under the wonderful sacrament hast left us a memorial of thy passion, grant us, we beseech thee, so to reverence the sacred mysteries of thy body and blood, that in our souls we may always feel the fruit of thy redemption. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. John the Apostle, 1, Chapter 3. Dearly beloved, wonder not if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in himself. In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He that hath the substance of this world, and shall see his brother in need, and shut up his bowels from him, how doth the charity of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word, nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. These impressive words of the beloved disciple could not be addressed to the faithful on a more appropriate occasion than in this joyous octave. God's love for us is both the model and the motive of that which we owe to our fellow men. The divine charity is the type of ours. I have given you an example, says our Lord, quote, that as I have done unto you, so ye may also do. End quote. Footnote. St. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 15. If, then, he has gone so far as to lay down his life for us, we also should be ready, if occasion so required, to lay down ours in order to procure our neighbor's salvation, and still more ready to help him, to the best of our power, when he is in need. We should love, not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, what else is the divine memorial which is shining on us in all its splendor than an eloquent demonstration of infinite love? A living remembrance and abiding representation of that death of our Lord upon which the Apostle bases his argument. Hence it is that our Divine Master deferred his promulgation of the law of fraternal love, which he came upon our earth to establish, till he instituted the Holy Sacrament, which was to give the strongest support to the observance of that law. No sooner has he effected the august mystery, no sooner has he given himself to mankind under the sacred species, than he exclaims, quote, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. End quote. Footnote. St. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 34. Truly, the commandment was a new one, considering that the world, to which it was given, had egotism as its leading law. This new commandment was to be the distinctive mark of all Christ's disciples. Footnote, St. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 35. And, as one of the shrewd observers of the early pagan time says, to consign them to the hatred of the human race, footnote, Tacitus, Annals 15, which was in open violation of this law of love. It was an answer to the hostile reception given by the world to the new progeny, that is, to the Christians, that St. John thus speaks in the epistle of this Sunday. Wonder not, dearly beloved, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love our brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. The union of the members with each other, through their divine head, is the condition on which the existence of the Christian religion is based. The Eucharist is the vigorous nourishment of this union. It is the strong bond of Christ's mystical body, which thereby maketh increase in charity. Footnote, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Charity, therefore, and peace and concord are, together with the love of God Himself, the best proof that our reception of Holy Communion is not turning to our condemnation, and the most needful of all preparations for our participation in the sacred mysteries. It is the meaning of that injunction of our Lord, quote, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thine offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then coming, thou shalt offer thy gift. End quote. Footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. The gradual which is taken from the Psalms gives thanks to God for the protection He has accorded us in the past, and prays for its continuation, seeing that our enemies are as unrelenting as ever. Gradual. In my troubles I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. O Lord, deliver my soul from wicked lips and a deceitful tongue. Alleluia, Alleluia. O Lord, my God, in Thee have I put my trust. Save me from those that persecute me, and rescue me. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the Pharisees. A certain man made a great supper and invited many, and he sent his servant at the hour of supper to say to them that were invited that they should come, for now all things are ready. And they began all at once to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a farm, and I must needs go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to try them. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant returning, told these things to his lord. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the feeble, the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say unto you, that none of those men that were invited shall taste of my supper. The gospel just read was appointed for this Sunday long before the institution of the Corpus Christi feast, as we learn from Honorius of Autun, footnote, Gemma Anime, Book 4, Chapters 45 and 46, and Rupert, footnote, De Divinis Officiis, Book 12, Chapter 2. The Holy Spirit, who guides the Church in her arrangement of the liturgy, was thus anticipating and completing the instructions suited for the future grand solemnity. The parable here spoken by Jesus at the table of one of the leading Pharisees, footnote, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 1, was again used by him when he spoke so strongly in the temple a few days previous to his passion and death. And what is this supper to which many are invited? What is this marriage feast but that which eternal wisdom has been getting ready from the very beginning of the world? Nothing could exceed the magnificence of these preparations. There was a splendid banquet hall, built on the top of a mountain, footnote, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, and supported by seven pillars, footnote, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, of mysterious beauty. There were the choicest meats, purest bread, and wine the most delicious, served up to the king's table. With his own hands, the wisdom of the Father pressed the rich cluster of cypress grapes into the cup. Footnote, Canticle of Canticles, chapter 1, verse 13. He himself ground down the wheat that had sprung up, without having been sown, from a soil holy beyond description. He immolated the victim. Footnote, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 2. Israel, the Father's chosen people. Footnote, Ecclesiasticus chapter 24, verse 13. Was the fortunate guest invited by the loving kindness of the Master, that is, Wisdom, the Son of the Father, who had sent messengers without end to the children of Jacob. The wisdom of God had said, quote, I will send unto them prophets and apostles, end quote, footnote, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 49. But this favored people, this loved one, as the book of Deuteronomy says, grew fat and kicked, that is, it abused the gifts bestowed on it. It seemed to study how to provoke the anger of God its Savior by despising his invitations and going its own way. Footnote, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15. This daughter of Sion, in her adulterous pride, preferred the bill of divorce to the marriage feast. Footnote, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1. Jerusalem rejected the heavenly messengers and killed the prophets. Footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 34 through 37. And crucified the spouse himself. But even so, eternal wisdom still offers the first place at the supper to the ungrateful children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He does so because of their saintly fathers. It is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel that the apostles are first sent. Footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 6, and Acts, chapter 13, verse 46. What delicate attention, may we justly exclaim with St. John Chrysostom. Quote, before his crucifixion, Christ calls the Jews. He does the same after it. He goes on inviting them. Instead of crushing them with a terrible chastisement, as it seemed most just he should do, he invites them to a marriage. He loads them with honors. But they that have slain his prophets and murdered even him, these same, invited so pressingly by such a spouse, urged so lovingly to go to the wedding, and that by the very victim of their own making, these same, I say, pay no regard to the invitation, and give as an excuse their yokes of oxen and their wives and their estates. End quote. Footnote. Freely from Homily 69 in Matteum. Soon these priests, these scribes, these hypocrite Pharisees, will persecute and slay these apostles also, and the servant of our parable will find none in Jerusalem whom he can induce to come to the Master's Supper, except the poor and little and sickly ones of the roads and bylanes, with whom there is no ambition, or avarice, or pleasure, to keep them from the divine banquet. Then will be realized the vocation of the Gentiles, that great mystery of a new people being substituted for the former one in the covenant with Jehovah. The marriage of my son is indeed ready, will God the Father say to his servants. But they that were invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore, abandon the wicked city that hath not known her time and my visit. Go ye into the highways and hedges and countries of the Gentiles, and as many as ye shall find, call ye to the marriage. Footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 8 through 14, and St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 44. O ye Gentiles, praise the Lord for his mercy. Footnote, Romans chapter 15, verse 9. You have been invited, without any merits of your own, to a feast that was prepared for another people. Take heed, lest you incur the reproach given to the intended guests, who were excluded from the promises made to their fathers. O thou lame one, and blind, that hast been called from the bypath of thy sin and misery, hasten to the holy table. But then take care, out of respect to him who calls thee, to put off the rags of thy former life, and quickly put on the wedding garment. The invitation given thee has made a queen of thy soul. Quote, give her then the purple robe and diadem, and set her on a throne. Think of the marriage thou art invited to attend, the marriage of God. Oh, the soul that goes to it should be clad and decked with a garment richer than all the garments of earth. End quote. Footnote. From St. John Chrysostom, Ubi Supra. Like the gradual, the offertory is an earnest prayer for God's help. It is his mercy that encourages the soul to make this prayer. Offertory. Turn to me, O Lord, and deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. In the secret, the Church prays for the twofold effect of the Holy Sacrament in the transformation of man's soul, purification from the remnants left by sin, and progress in the works which lead to life everlasting. Secret. May this sacrifice offered to thy name purify us, O Lord, and make us every day advance towards a heavenly life. Commemoration of Corpus Christi. Mercifully grant thy Church, O Lord, we beseech thee, the gifts of unity and peace, which are mystically represented in these offerings. During the communion, Holy Church, enriched as she is with heavenly favors, pours forth her gratitude towards him who, though the Most High God, is also her spouse, and loads her with exquisite gifts. Communion. I will sing unto the Lord who hath bestowed good things on me, and I will sing a psalm to the name of the Lord the Most High. Let us pray with the Church in the post-communion that our frequent participation in these sacred mysteries may not be fruitless in our souls, but may affect with increased assurance the whole work of our salvation. Post-communion. Having received, O Lord, this sacred oblation, grant that by frequenting these mysteries, the work of our salvation may increase. Commemoration of Corpus Christi. Grant us, O Lord, we beseech Thee, the everlasting possession of Thyself, as a pledge of which we have received Thy body and blood.